action on 14.0 reports. 14.1, North Queens Counselor Public Consultation. Counselor Gil Johnson is absent today, so we will move on to 14.2. Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities, NSFM Spring Conference Report. Who would like to give a report on this? Counselor Kelly.
I guess the first point of order for that is that they're now called the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities. So that was something that everybody struggled with all for those 3 days of that conference to get their head around. So UNSM is now known as NSFM, and the website's all been updated with their new logo and nsfm.ca, and all of the reports can be found on that as well. So I'm just really going to touch on, for the other counselors that weren't there, what I took away from it. And I think on Thursday night was the caucus meetings, and they attended rural caucus, and two of the presentations that night, well, the one, not so much sure of a presentation, but what everyone was talking about is this one-third income tax exemption on honorariums that the federal government clawed back in the last budget. And I think that's going to be huge. I think that's going to be huge going forward. I mean, a lot of counselors had a lot to say about it, and going forward for municipalities. And even when Minister Mongeau-Kett spoke on Saturday at the end of the conference, questions were asked for support from the Department of Municipal Affairs, because I think that a lot of councils, municipalities will be struggling with this and how to address it. So what was left with that is there was a lot of questions, and the NSFM staff couldn't answer them. So they're going to bring back a report to the municipalities on the information about why it was there in the first place, why is it being clawed back, what going forward is going to happen, and what maybe their suggestions would be or going forward, or ask the municipalities for information on municipalities or councils feel like how they should address it. The other one was housing, which was really great to hear from. I made connections with the rep from Nova Scotia, the Housing Nova Scotia, Stefan Richard, and the Western Zone Director, John Campbell, on the housing needs and priorities and solutions for Nova Scotia. Specifically, I guess we're talking Western Zone. And this will be beneficial for the region of Queens as we address the needs for housing, so we can retain and increase our population. And I've already shared this information with a potential developer for this area, and we'll be sharing and discussing the information with new developers in my district as well, to make sure that they've got all the information going forward and how they can access government funding and how they can build the type of houses that we require in our region, because all those stats are available as to what we lack in our area. The next day, I guess, there was roads, which I think Susan is going to probably speak more to on roads. No provincial roads in District 2, so I try to only focus on the things that I need to concern myself with. Advancing energy and efficiency and climate change initiatives. Now, most of us attended this one. There was another one on CAP, which Gil Johnson attended, so I don't have a lot of information on that one, other than the presentation is available on the NSFM website, which is great. You know, you should go on there. All those presentations are there. It's great information. It's great for sharing as well. So not only is it the right thing to do, this is on the advancing energy efficiency, right thing to do for the environment, but also has the advantage of potential savings. So I'd like to see, I'd look forward to future discussions with council on ways that the region of Queens can engage in climate protection as a region. The asset management presentation, there was a lot of success stories there. I think the region of Queens is a leader in asset management. I'm not sure if we have, I've never seen a particular report or a strategy or asset management plan here for the region, but I know that we, as a general rule, we do that very, very well. And it's nice to see that, you know, how the region compares with other municipalities. And I think that we stand well above when it comes to asset management and how we keep such a tight control over our finances here at the region of Queens as well. It's nice to see. Solid waste and extended producer responsibility was a hot topic, huge issue with huge opportunities. Surprising enough for me is this has been worked on for a long, long time. And the guy giving the presentation was extremely passionate that we do something about this now. As a new counselor, I wasn't aware that all of this was going on in the past, all the work that was going on extended producer responsibility. But it was a provincial resolution back in 2010. So I'm going to actually speak to NSFM and Betty in particular to find out what all the past resolutions were, because I'm not aware. We keep track of what's come up since we become counselors. But if you're a new counselor, then you're not aware of all the resolutions that have been put forward in the past that are dating way back, that people are still actually working on, because some of these things do take a long time. So that was interesting. And it's another issue that I look forward to council discussions on. Another big one for me was cannabis legalization, always a hot topic, and because we have an NSFM working group on that as well, I made contact with and a connection with Sean Cleary, who's a RHM counselor, and he's also the chair of the NSFM working group, so he keeps us informed at the provincial level of what's going on. So I'm also on the working group that came out of, with Samantha Noseworthy, the working group that came out of stakeholders meetings with the Queen's Community Health Board, and it was good to connect with him because they've done a lot of work in this area, and we can tag along with their templates and how to get that. It's mostly education, because that's the Queen's Community Health Board, their lens is through education about cannabis legalization, specifically that awareness is made of the health risks to cannabis and the use of cannabis, and make sure people are informed when it does become legalized, how to safely use cannabis, and how to get the right information, I guess. But it was interesting as well. I got to ask the question of the panel during the presentation, because nowhere in the presentation have we heard about anything to do with health with cannabis legalization. But we were actually told at that point, after the question was asked, $350,000 is being put towards an education plan to roll out in September, with the emphasis on parents and youth and mental health, working in conjunction with the federal government on education for cannabis legalization so that they don't duplicate. So that was interesting, but interesting enough not coming out until September, which begs the question, maybe it's not going to be legalized until September, because we still haven't heard about when that legalization date will come. So that was that. And it's nice to know, too, that a lot of the things that we're working on, the same thing is NSFM is working on, the resolutions. And again, their presentation is on the site, and they've got an agreement with the partnership with the provincial government to work this year on frameworks for CAP, review of provincial grants, internet and connectivity, and roads. So those are the things that are important to them, as because they're important to all municipalities. Those are the ones that they're taking forward. And they left physician recruitment off, which was one that was put forward as well. But everybody's working on that. The whole province is working on that, and a number of other ones as well. But again, that's on the website, which everyone can look again, nsfm.ca. So Region of Queens fares well so far with the focus on all municipalities. We have the same focuses as the UNSM, so that's good to know. And with each conference of NSFM, it brings new tools and information to all councillors to better assist their residents. An overwhelming number of issues that face Nova Scotians, especially rural Nova Scotia, and councillors are strengthened through connections made and information shared at these conferences. A few new connections and connected with a number of other councillors, and I'm able to share too a lot of the things that we're doing here in the region with our planning, our review of our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaws. There's a number of municipalities that don't even have anything, and they're struggling with certain, with the ones that do have, but they don't work very well. And was able to share what we're doing in our review and our terms of reference for our review of our municipal planning strategy with another councillor as well. So it's always good when you can, you're doing something ahead of the game of all the other municipalities.
attended the Roads in Nova Scotia session, and as you know, most of us, we talk about whether it's election time or whatever, there's always issues about roads. However, we all know that. However, the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal, known as TIR, they gave us an overview of the department's approach in roads throughout Nova Scotia, and of course we're aware of the service exchange program, that we have so many roads in our municipality that are maintained. We have the 50-50 cost share, which we also we approve often, where if we have qualifying roads and streets to cost share, which now we're doing the one on Pleasant Avenue. So that they gave us a little overview and some more insight into that program. They've talked about the active transportation and the Blue Roof program, which is a program that they're hoping to accomplish about 3,000 kilometers of roads with paved shoulders for biking and easy access, promoting all through Nova Scotia. And if you go on their website, it's novascotia.ca, you can go under the, just click in the Blue Roof program, and it'll give you all the information about the plans to have the whole province covered and where the routes are. And I had asked a question about what qualifies for paved shoulders, because in the past we've had the Route 8 paved and they paved the shoulders. So I thought, well, what qualifies for that? They're doing other roads, improvements to roads, but they don't pave the shoulders. So they came back with this Blue Route program will answer that. And everybody that has concerns about the roads not being, shoulders not being paved, that's the reason. It's because it's part of this Blue Route program, which is being funded. And they came up with a program, a Connect To program, which is new funding in May to help support some of these initiatives. So that's the Blue Route program. Talked about the 1-844 number that public now can call if they have concerns for plowing, any concerns about road conditions in their area, that they no longer, when they call the local office here, for example, on White Point Road, they're automatically connected to the call center in Sydney. And when you call that number, that person will make a docket, a ticket up, and they will contact your local supervisor or local office and then pass on your concerns. And I've had an excellent experience with that in the past. You can also call back and ask, has this been done? Get a ticket number from them, which can trace back your initial call. And what happens in my area, I'm sure other counselors find as well, someone will call us because we're closer, we're the grassroots, you know, representatives. So they call us and say, well, I have an issue with my roads. And they'll say, and I'll say, well, you know, you can call this number. Well, do that on my behalf, can you? I say, it's better for us to all call. They have more calls and you get the faster reaction than you do one person calling, than you do with several others calling in and making those reports. So that's an excellent way to contact the departments. And the staff are very, very helpful. I've never had any bad experiences, and I've gotten quicker action also by that, and I follow up with that. They were talking about, I talked about the litter abatement, and that was when we were talking about the other program there with the extended producer responsibilities. I made a comment at that session that in addition to that, that we're dealing with a very serious litter problem, which all of us identify, and that the litter abatement program, I think that is a document I found on the Nova Scotia website that is outdated, that should be updated, and we should really make a serious attempt at that. And Department of Transportation also can be involved in that, maybe by providing, and I know it's under the Motor Vehicle Act, but there might be some support there for extra signage, because they do have funds available for those types of signage, which we could co-partner in areas, just getting the word out that we're not going to tolerate litter on our highways and areas. So that was one good thing. I brought up the topic about, actually it's a local issue, when they did the new 103 extension, Broad River extension. Has been a serious issue at exit 21 from the connector road that leads the 103 to the old number 3. There's a flashing light, and there are lights at the entrance to the connector road, but there's no light. And I know that Councillor Muse in that area has been trying to get that message of There's been no lighting at all on that connector road, and when you go off of the 103, or you enter onto the 103 from the number 3, it's a very dangerous situation. So I brought that up, and the two representatives there will make some, you know, will sort of look at that area and see how serious it is. There are poles there that can accommodate lights. And I know, Mayor Dagley, you've been involved in that possibly as well, but just wanted to get the message out to those people at that session that it's real serious, and would they please take a look at that area, and they said they would. I followed that up with an email after that to them. So, and those are just basic things at that session.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councilor Crowley?
Well, I certainly echo what both councilors are saying. It was a great way to network, for sure. One of the things that really stuck out for me, the conversation about energy savings within the municipalities was a real eye-opener. I think that there's a big conversation to be had about that. And they, I can't remember all the details, but they go from, for example, Queen's Place, and they really look at all the ways to save energy. So I think there's a real big advantage, and they threw a lot of numbers out. And yeah, it's pretty impressive. So I would like to see some follow-up on that for sure. With the roads, another, you know, great conversation, because it's something that we're all dealing with in every district. But it was nice to be able to actually talk to the people in charge and talk about certain situations. Certainly my district, Western Head, is the topic of conversation. So we had a great conversation about that. The one thing I did notice, that there were a lot of CAOs present and part of the conversations, which I thought was interesting, considering, you know, our CAO is on the front line as well. So that would be something that I would like to explore for the other conferences coming up that ours attend as well. So and there were a fair amount there. The one thing that really stood out for me was the conversations about global warming and, you know, the going green and all of that. I think that we're ahead in so many ways, but in this one, I think we're a lot like other municipalities, where we're addressing certain issues, but it's kind of on a need to address. And I think we need to be looking out way into the future, and there's some municipalities that are, you know, after talking to them, they're looking at 2030 and beyond, and what it looks like and what we need to do, especially when we're going through planning exercise. And I know we're addressing that, but I think we need to address it in a bigger, much bigger way, because you know, we can see what's happening in the last 10, 20 years. So 2030 is gonna creep up on us pretty fast. So lots of conversation about that and what people are doing. And you know, we're all coastal regions, all in Nova Scotia. So I think there will be group conversations on that that we should be getting involved with. But certainly a great session. I wasn't there for all of it, just arrived on Friday, but it was great to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Crowley. Any other comments or questions on this report section? Councilor Dancy?
So we've got the reports over with, right? Just it's question time?
So on, yes. On these reports?
On it, yes. The one thing I was thinking about is the Blue Route program. Now, Blue Route program came through a couple of years ago when they wanted to, they came down here and talked to us and said they'd like to be able to have a bicycle in particular accessibility to get through everywhere. And when they were talking at the time, they said the Blue Route at the time was going from Bridgewater up through Caledonia, up through Kedge. And they said, well, hey, you know, what about Liverpool out through to Caledonia? So we were missing that part of the route. So they weren't going, so paving would actually not take that part, but they would never put a shoulder because that wasn't part of the Blue Route. The Blue Route was up to and they said they were going to be looking at that. I don't know where that's gone to, where it's because we were also talking to, so where does that show there to me? Does it show
Liverpool?
So they did put that in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Because they were going, like I said, they were going around that way, and said, well, look, we're going through our county. We want to be able to go down through. And then we also, too, said, well, okay, well, where are we going with going up towards Warmer Two, because that's the old highway up through there, and of course we've got the and whatever happens with the Trestle Trail Bridge should not affect what we're going to do with the Blue Route, even going up through that way. So that's something I think we need to make sure that becomes, we keep it on the radar for people to be able to use that, to whether use the old railroad tracks or use the highway itself, so we can be able to make sure, because that's money from the government that they're going to do with, you know, they're going to press with the paving, they're going to press with the signage and everything else, so we don't get lost on that.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. Any other questions on the report? Well, thank you, councilors. It was a good convention. There was a lot of discussion, good presentation, and I'm sure as we move forward, we'll follow up on many of those issues that were raised today. The next item is 14.3, proclamation, National Health Fitness Day, June the 2nd, which is included in the agenda for information purposes. There will be events at Queen's Place Memorial Center on June the 2nd, where we will be participating. Councilor Taylor?
Can you remind me again, I mean, this is in our package. Is there anything that's going to be shareable that we can post with the proclamation?
My understanding is that our communications staff, Heather Cook, has been preparing some information for our Reach and Queens Facebook. Would I be correct in that, Heather?
Yes.
Yes, we've had two press releases regarding the National Health and Fitness events that the Recreation Department is working on.
So there will be additional postings leading up to June the 2nd.
Yeah. But there's nothing, the proclamation is not in a form that we can share.
That would be something I would ask Heather to look at and see if it is.
I'll forward it to you if you
want to
share it.
We'll see if we can get that electronically out there for everyone, if it's not already there.
Well, what I see is a request with kind of a blanket form where you're filling your municipality. That's what's in our package. That's not really shareable. So as part of the motion that we passed before, I can't remember whether that was, if we go the next step, or whether it's just in our package.
The policy, as I remember it, is that proclamations will be listed on the agenda, but they will not be proclaimed. Am I correct, Heather?
That's correct.
Okay.
So we've done that today. We've brought the recognition to National Health and Fitness Day, and there are events coming up during next week, and certainly we'll have that on our social media. At this point in time, the next item is in camera, item 15. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councilor Kelly, seconder to that motion. Councilor Frelick, any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? It is unanimous. We are now in camera and we'll take a 10-minute recess.